He almost made it. Only 9 months short was he of the magic number 100. Amazing, just amazing. Beyond amazing in this day and age. Equally amazing that he lived all of those 99 years with the last years dominated by health problems, including the ravages of Parkinson's disease and cancer. But this man, founder of Decision Magazine, the man who called people to repentance on radio's Hour of Decision, this man who preached to millions upon millions, this man who prayed for and counseled presidents of the United States, from Lyndon Johnson to Barack Obama, and both Presidents Bush and Clinton and Reagan and Carter and Ford and Nixon, was called by his Lord for the last time to come home. Come home. I can only imagine the divine celebration when the soul of this man of God received such an angelic accolade. I would have loved to have heard it. I know what the words were in essence. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, very well done. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. William Franklin Graham preached to tens of millions of people, but for him, as he said, what I do is not mass evangelism, but personal evangelism on a mass scale. I love that one. How true it was. I think Billy Graham really loved and concentrated on the individual. He recognized the hunger for the simple, clear message of the gospel. The world over, that hunger was there, and he gave it to them one by one. They congregated by the tens of thousands to hear him, but they came to the Christ he loved and served individually one by one. It is most interesting how Billy Graham met his Lord in the fall of 1934 at the revival in Kentucky, conducted by the Reverend Mordecai Ham. At one such evangelical rally in Charlotte, North Carolina, Billy Graham walked up to Reverend Ham and stated that he wanted to make a decision for Christ. Graham said of that decision and encounter, most interesting words. I can't say that I felt anything spectacular, he said. I felt very little emotion, and I shed no tears. In fact, when I saw others had tears in their eyes, I felt like a hypocrite. And this disturbed me. I am sure I had a tremendous sense of conviction. The Lord did speak to me about certain things in my life. I am certain of that. But a life changed that day anyway, and it began a changed life which in the course of the next 60 years would change the lives of millions. Billy Graham pursued a Christian education at Florida Bible Institute, now Trinity College, near Tampa, Florida. There, he emphatically stated, God called me to the ministry, an event which occurred in his life late one night while walking on a golf course. Graham said of that godly encounter and calling, I got down on my knees at the edge of one of the greens, and there, I prostrated myself on the dewy turf, and I said, O God, if you want me to serve you, I will. And then Billy Graham went on to say, all the surroundings stayed the same. No sign in the heavens, no voice from above. But in my spirit, I knew I had been called to the ministry, and I knew my answer was, yes, I am ready, Lord. From hundreds in churches to millions at rallies, the salvation message of Jesus Christ, Graham's passion, was preached the world over. In 1957, Billy Graham drew more than 2 million people to a series of rallies which extended 16 weeks at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Thousands upon thousands accepted the loving gospel message presented by Billy Graham. The success of his ministry was simple. He simply presented the simple, plain, clear, powerful gospel of salvation in Scripture. That's all. Little more. But nothing less. In fact, his critics, those who postured a more complex and intellectual Christianity, ridiculed and even dismissed his simplistic interpretation of Scripture. They claimed the gospel William Franklin Graham presented was overly literal. Thank God for that. Even though everything he preached was scriptural. His was the message of the gospel, mere Christianity, and tens of millions of people, hungry for the truth of Jesus Christ and able to recognize it when they heard it the world over, agreed and accepted. This servant of his living Lord conducted 400 crusades in 185 countries the world over, and everywhere the message was the same. Is your heart right with God? Is your heart right with God? The Reverend Graham would say, and challenge. The Christian challenge for him was simple. Said Graham, what is the condition of your heart? If you will turn away from your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God promises to put a new heart within you. So do it right now, he would say. You can have abundant and eternal life if you will surrender to Christ. Can't be any more simple than that, can it? But that message became more unpopular as the years went on, especially the emphasis upon sin and turning. And in an ever-growing pluralistic world, Jesus Christ, the only Lord and Savior, the only way, the only truth, and the only life, as preached by Graham, was not only ridiculed, but today many consider that hate speech. Undeterred, his message of the gospel stayed simple, clear, and unchanging. That's what I loved about Billy Graham. Always consistent and never compromising. In February 2018, the monthly edition of the excellent magazine Decision, published by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, which I would urge you to read each month, reprinted a sermon by Billy Graham entitled Spiritual Heart Disease. The article was a sermon preached by Dr. Graham at the historic New York Crusade on May 23, 1957. Graham said to those New York thousands, again, is your heart right with God? And if it's not right, before you leave here tonight, I hope you will allow God to make it right. Boy, that's a straight-on challenge, isn't it? Night after night for 16 weeks in the heart of New York City, that message reverberated all over Manhattan and from there, the world over. And then came a challenge which many would find unpopular in wealthy, cultured, secular New York. There are many of you, Graham said, there are many of you here tonight who go to church. You sing on Sunday morning. You go through the ritual of the liturgy of your church. With your mouth, you honor God, but your heart, there it is again for him, but your heart is far from him. Your heart, your real self, is taken up with the things of this world, he said. And for him, true it was, but popular it was not. And then came powerful preaching on the major stumbling block. Graham said, and do you know the greatest stumbling block to the kingdom of God? Is it murder? No. Drunkenness? No. Adultery? No. Pride. Pride. More people stay out, said Graham. More people stay out of the kingdom of God because they're proud more than any other reason. We don't like to humble ourselves and come to the cross of Christ and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Beautiful. So simplistic, so clear, to me, so right on. But for so many, very unpopular, don't you think, no matter how true. It is indeed pride and ego and self-reliance and inability for so many of us to humble ourselves, the very essence of the message of the gospel, and in fact the message of old in Second Chronicles, where the same admonition to turn, pray, seek, and humble oneself was the path to salvation. And then Billy Graham went on to say, again in simple and clear terms, the following. The Bible says that three things are necessary for regeneration, for salvation. First, you must be willing to turn from your sins. You must be willing to renounce sin. Second, you must commit and surrender your life to Christ. By that, I mean, said Billy Graham, that you give in to Christ as your only Savior. You are not saved by joining a church. You are not saved by living a good moral life. You are saved only because of the grace of God in Christ. And you must commit to Christ as your only Savior. Are you, he said. Are you willing to do that? Again, that Graham, simple, clear, confrontational challenge. Are you? Are you willing to do that? Couldn't be more simple, or plain, or straight, and understandable, don't you think? The ultimate truth for Billy Graham from Scripture to all of those with spiritual ears to hear. And then the third thing, you must be willing to follow him and serve him, confess him and acknowledge him. You must be willing to go back to the factory and the home and stand up for Christ. Stand up for Christ. And, you know, that's not easy to do. That challenge, are you willing to do that, was the culmination of his message the world over and the beginning of his call to action. His so-called altar call, and millions, millions upon millions found their way to that altar and accepted the Christ of the gospel he presented. What a great thing, I think. I can hear the verses of Scripture in which he preached and believed. I can hear them. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. I think he loved that one. And more. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons and daughters of God, even to them who believe on his name. That powerful verse in the Gospel of John. And this, for by grace, grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God in Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation for Billy Graham and Scripture, through faith in Christ and Christ alone, no other way, and never of works, never. Night after night, never varying, never compromising, lovingly preaching this life-changing message. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, well done, William Franklin Graham. And this life-transforming message goes on. God continues to mightily use a son like the Father. My father, Percy B. Crawford, evangelist himself, and friend with and mentor of Billy Graham, died in October 1960. That was the very time when the Graham ministry was at its peak, known the world over. And our family, at the death of my father, with temerity, asked if Billy Graham would deliver the eulogy at my father's funeral service. We expected a flat-out no, but this great man, busy in the Lord's work of his own with rallies, gave up that night to come to Town Hall in Philadelphia to deliver that eulogy for Percy B. Crawford. There were some 7,000 people in attendance and perhaps 3,000 more standing outside listening to the ceremonies which honored Percy Crawford. And my friends, listen to this. It was my task at all of 22 years of age to deliver our family eulogy in behalf of my brothers, my sister, and my mother. And sitting right behind me, was none other than Billy Graham himself. Just the thought of it today makes me nervous. But then a calm came over me, a spiritual calm. And I spoke with this great man listening. And in the course of those remarks of mine, I mentioned how difficult it was for children of a famous father to carry on, especially me, and especially those who may be responsible in some way for evangelistic works. I wondered how any son of Billy Graham could ever replace a father like that. I knew the replacement of my father would be, at the least for us, just as difficult, if not even more so. And when he spoke, Billy Graham departed from script, commented on me and my remarks, and prayed for our family, understood our dilemmas, and indicated his full support. For me, it is a moment I will never forget, a touching moment, a lasting moment from a man so very great with an even bigger and greater heart. But I was wrong, because then came Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham. I was wrong to think that it would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to carry on. Billy Graham, now looking down, can revel in the fact that the power of God and Jesus Christ lives on mightily in the life and message of his son, Franklin Graham, named after him, and just like him. The rallies continue. The Hour of Decision proclaims. Decision Magazine proudly presents the gospel the world over. Franklin Graham, son of Billy, is cut from the same cloth. God continues to mightily use son like father. Many in our Crawford Broadcasting Company have spiritual debt to Billy Graham. Virtually all have been influenced by his life and his message. One general manager of ours was brought to the Lord, his words, brought to the Lord through his message. Another is close friend with the sons of Franklin Graham. When the severe complications and challenges of life occur, I, the president of Crawford Broadcasting Company, I continue to be blessed by the sermons and the books published by Dr. William Franklin Graham. There were 30 of them, each one a spiritual treasure. On Wednesday, February 21, Billy Graham went to be with his Lord, the Lord he loved so passionately and served with all his might. I can only imagine the righteous reception, and especially for him, as, in his words, he was then reunited with his loving wife, Ruth. But there was something to him vitally important in his autobiography. As he wrote, "I have often said that the first thing," Billy Graham said, "the first thing I am going to do when I get to heaven is ask, why me, Lord? Why me? Why did you choose a farm boy from North Carolina to preach to so many people, to have such a wonderful team of associates, and to have a part in what you were doing in the latter half of the 20th century? Why? Why? Why me, Lord?" What a great question from a humble, sincere man. I think all of us would like to ask the same question and get the same answer, no matter what our calling is. I am absolutely certain he got his answer. That February Wednesday, Billy Graham got his answer. Before that, he said, "Only God knows the answer." But now, he does. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Now enter eternally and forevermore into the joys of your Lord. We who have been touched by your life and ministry will always remember, and we will be grateful. Thank you, sir. Thank you. But you know, he being dead yet speaketh, his messages will live on for all time. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is as vital and viable worldwide as ever. We who remain know that as we continue to enjoy the fruits of your labors, we know that one day, William Franklin Graham, we will see you again.